Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Lay down your weapon. Expect defeat. This is Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty good you heard a little something about a Super Bowl halftime show. It still seems to be a bit of the talk of the internet. A lot of people weighing in on what happened during the halftime. Anybody else in favor of George Strait doing next year's Super Bowl halftime?
I'm right there. I voted for him.
I don't even know a single song from George. And I want George.
Let's just go back to marching bands.
People giving their opinions about the quality of the Super Bowl halftime show. Did it really empower women? Of course, say the progressives, because Jennifer and Shakira, they chose...
Skirted around half naked?
...to scurry around half naked. It was their decision. And look at how empowered they are. Some of us say it doesn't matter what the... what the benefit for you financially might be. It doesn't matter that you made the decision. The reality is it is still inappropriate behavior for a human being to behave like that. I guess female or male, frankly. Nevertheless, people weighing in and saying things like, well, that's just the way they dance in Latin nations. I can't comment on that. I don't know. I don't think every 50-year-old woman is dancing with a pole, scantily clad. Nevertheless, does it matter? The question is, what is appropriate behavior? What is a sexualized performance? What is bearing too much flesh? How do we make these decisions? And what I am seeing on the internet is a demonstration of, I think, what might be the oldest battle in human history. It is the battle of says who. Says who? Who's the judge of Shakira and J-Lo when it comes to their performance and their attire? Who determines whether that's appropriate? Is it based on the culture in Latin American countries? Is it somebody in America? Is it somebody who's 70 years old, 20 years old? Who gets to decide these things? Says who regarding morality? And I fear far too many professing Christians have entered into the arena that the secularists love to play in. The says who question is answered by us. I says who. We're living in a postmodern, post-truth world. And if there's any truth to be had, I'm going to determine it. So my values win the day. Well, there's a problem with that. Your values are not worth paste, nor are mine. It is simply my preference, your preference. And unless we have an objective source of morality, we're all playing on the same field of individualized morality that has absolutely no authority. When we Christians lay down our Bible at the gate of the conversation, we have already surrendered. We have said there is no objective authority, there is no source of morality, and so we enter into the arena with our opinion. Case in point, Matt Walsh. He is a Roman Catholic. Many evangelicals love reading his stuff. He's an excellent writer. He really is. He's very good writer. He's also doing a radio program. He used to do a radio show. Now he's on, I believe, the Daily Wire. And he wanted to talk about his opinion about the Super Bowl performance. And I thought we could use Matt as a perfect example of a man who has told us in the past, you can't be quoting the Bible. You can't bring scripture into it. These people don't believe it. They don't accept your quoting of Bible verses, so we enter in with, my question is what, Matt? what? Why should anybody listen to Matt Walsh? Why should anybody listen to me, you, anybody? And the answer to that question is they shouldn't. They shouldn't. I really don't feel bad that nobody's willing to listen to my expert opinion if it's based on my opinion. Let's listen to Matt Walsh and see if we can conclude together. Let us not put down our Bibles when it comes to having conversations in the marketplace of ideas. This is Matt Walsh.
But a football game, the Super Bowl, airing on network television at 7 o'clock should be appropriate. Of course, the problem is we live in an aggressively stupid culture, a stupid, self-absorbed, sex-obsessed culture.
Hold it right there. Why? Why should the Super Bowl be family-friendly at 7 o'clock? Why? Well, because the kids are still up. So, send them out. Don't watch it. Why does it have to be family-friendly hour? And the answer that Matt has to offer is, because I think so. And this culture is, I think the word he used, they're idiots or something like that, stupid or something, and they're sexually driven. Says who, man? They would say, no, we're not sexually driven. We're not running around in the streets like animals yet. So who are you to judge us? He, as an individual, in the past has told us, don't quote your Bibles, is finding himself, in my opinion, in a little bit of a conundrum.
Where even the incredibly reasonable point that I'm making right here.
Reason. What's reasonable about it? Why is that reasonable? It's just your opinion.
The very mild request.
Mild? Says who?
That for a Super Bowl halftime show that doesn't feature stripper poles. Even this is viewed as Puritan extremism.
Why not? Who says the Puritans were right? Who says they're wrong? Who are you, Matt Walsh? Why am I listening?
Someone told me last night, and when I was saying this on Twitter, someone said, well, so what, you want to move to a Muslim country where women have to be covered 24/7? Yes, because that's the other option, right? Those are the only two options. Either we've got stripper poles on network TV at 7 o'clock at night during a family event, either that, or women have to be covered head to toe 24/7 upon penalty of death. There's no room in between.
That's actually a pretty good point.
It's one or the other, right? And so those of us who made this point last night were greeted with a flood of responses from people who felt personally attacked that we were advocating for a minimal level of decency.
What's a minimal level of decency? They thought it was a minimum, that your minimal level isn't their minimal level. And you did attack them because your values are no better than their values. Do we see the problem of laying down our Bibles, Matt?
And respect for children.
Respect. We respect kids. We want it. In fact, we respect our kids more. We think they can handle it, Matt. We want to prepare our children. We want our kids to grow up faster than you do. Ha ha.
How about that? Let's just put it that way. This is not about my own feelings or...
Yeah, actually, it's totally about your own feelings because I haven't heard you quote a source of authority to back up any of your preferential claims.
Anything like that or my tastes or preferences.
This is all I'm hearing. It's his tastes and preferences. Says who?
How about just respect for children? A little bit. That's all I'm asking of society.
Who are you to
ask? A little respect. They are people.
Yeah, who are you to ask these things? I'm not trying to be snide at Matt. I'm being snide toward the argument. It doesn't hold up. And he is a fellow who has told us historically, stop quoting the Bible. So I'm responding to Matt and saying, why should I care or listen to you? My opinion is we are respecting kids. That's my opinion. Why is yours better than mine? It's not, unless there is an arbiter, unless there is a judge in morality issues. It is nothing but Lord of the Flies. And your opinion will win if you can beat me up, take over, have majority rule. But otherwise, we are all on the same level, playing in a field of opinions.
They exist. They're in society, too. And we're constantly worried about how images, ideas, words, thoughts, etc. will hurt various groups of people. This is a constant topic of conversation in our culture today. In fact, even in regards to this game, there was much discussion about the Chiefs logo and how the Chiefs team name and mascot and how that might be hurtful to Native American adults who are watching. So if that's a concern, if we're concerned that, say, a 40-year-old Native American man may somehow be traumatized because of the Kansas City Chiefs, if that's a concern that we have to take into account and talk about, then what about kids?
Yeah, we've decided that's not a concern. And there you have it, the end of the conversation. Matt Walsh, he's told us in the past, and so do other people who profess Christ, they will tell you, don't bring in your Bibles. You'll look dumb. They don't respect that book. It does not carry any weight in our culture. I would suggest to you the exact opposite. If you are bringing nothing to the party but your opinion, expect to be steamrolled, expect to lose, and expect to be a clanging cymbal just banging around, hoping that somebody will agree with you, because without the Bible, we ain't got a leg to stand on. This is Wretched Radio. What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
You know what's bad? Traffic. You know what's worse? False teaching. Yeah. So why not learn about false teaching the next time you're sitting in traffic? Drive-by false teaching. 79 lectures on false teaching, perfect for your morning commute. Join Phil Johnson, Mike Fabares, and Todd as they discuss false teaching that threatens the contemporary church. Drive-by false teaching will help you distinguish between the true and the false, or worse, the true and the almost true, and give you the tools to contend earnestly for the faith. Learn about the Church of Christ, Seventh-day Adventism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and many, many more. Visit wretched.org/false to get your copy and learn about false teaching on your drive to work. wretched.org/false and learn to defend our Christian doctrines. wretched.org/false. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 325 AD. The Council of Nicaea was called to address debates perplexing the church, primarily concerning the nature of Jesus. The Nicene Creed was drafted and is still one of the standards of orthodoxy among Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, I know what we can talk about. This is Wretched Radio. How do you like that sound effect, fellas? That one is first right there.
I felt like I was right there.
What's the State of the Union? Troubling. This is Wretched Radio. These opinions that you're about to hear are just that, opinions. Perhaps hyperbolic, perhaps not even rational. But you know what? That's an awful lot of Christian talk radio. So forget that disclaimer. Let's just go with this. Did you watch the State of the Union? Certainly it was interesting to hear what the president presented as the state of the economy, the state of the military. I saw something different. I saw a state that is hostile toward one another and people of differing views. I know. The culture war has been discussed for a long time. This ain't nothing new. And maybe it's because I have not been watching much cable news. I've been on a fast now for quite a while. I don't think that I watched last year's State of the Union. I wait to kind of hear what bubbles to the top. And then I get the distilled version. And that's enough for me. So I spent 20 minutes watching the end of the State of the Union. Thought it was over when we turned the TV on. No, it was sort of going on like that Kirk Cameron sermon, frankly, at Deeper about 10 years ago. I don't think he's wrapped that one up yet, by the way. It was a long State of the Union, and what I watched, I was really troubled by. By the way, whatever your opinion or attitude is about the president, this is not a commentary on him. This is a commentary about what I see as the State of the Union. It's kind of scary. I was watching the woman in white behind the president do this paper shuffle. I thought, well, is she behind? Is she multitasking? Maybe she read the speech in advance and she's got some paperwork to get done before the vote happened the next day. No, it was just being rude. Then I heard, maybe she was just returning fire because he didn't shake her hand. But then maybe he was returning fire because she didn't announce him the way that she was supposed to. And then the whipped cream with the cherry on top finishes and she tears up the speech. And I thought I was watching a third world country in their political chambers. What in the world has happened here? And what is this divide? I'm sorry. I know there are a lot of evangelicals these days that are telling us, calm down about politics. We can all just get along. When the president said that he wanted some sort of legislation to outlaw late-term abortion, meaning a child can be not just cresting, but out of the womb, a toe attached, and we can kill the child. And there are some who are even promoting that we can take the life of the child once the child is outside of the mother. That's infanticide. And one half of the building didn't even clap, let alone stand up. What? What? Forget all of the other policies. Forget the military. Forget that they wouldn't stand up for people who were being featured by the president. I thought, this seems deeper to me than political issues. These aren't just positions on taxes and how we might be building infrastructure. I saw something that looked absolutely positively. Again, please note, I've already given the disclaimer, my opinion, perhaps hyperbolic. This looks spiritual, manifested. That's what it looked like to me. And I thought, this does not bode well for evangelical Christians. If a body of politicians is not willing to protect the life of a baby being born, what would be their attitude toward the value of my life when we, with our puritanical biblical values, oppose their political positions, or dare I say, threaten their power? Who knows where that is going? But it seems to me we saw a demonstration of a group of people who do not any longer have any semblance of decorum, and they are letting their disdain bubble to the surface. I think we've been warned, Christian. The signs of the times, they seem to be pointing toward an animosity toward Bible-believing Christians. And if we think that it might not get nasty, I didn't see any reason to have hope. Don't mean to be a bummer. Can't help but wonder if, coincidentally, part of the cultural divide is really caused by, and I know it's been said before, but I actually experienced it in a real practical way, social media. The Super Bowl happened. We talked about it here on Wretched Radio, stating that the behavior of two adult women with children viewing, the attitude toward men, absolutely appalling. We see that, how much more so God. That is why our message to the culture is repent. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. It's not, oh, how dare you parade around like that. You need to stop that. Well, they are parading it around inappropriately, and they should stop it. But the Christian message is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That was posted on the Facebook page. And some people engaged. Okay, there were hundreds of comments. And several people, now here, this is fascinating to me. Several people posted, aimed at me, well, then why'd you watch it? Fair enough. But in the very video that was posted, I had said, by the way, for the record, I didn't watch it. So I posted on the Facebook to the people who had said, well, what were you doing watching it then? You know, you're critiquing it, but you watched it, didn't you? And I said, perhaps you didn't catch the part where I said, I didn't watch it. And a lot of people responded to that as if I was attacking them, that I was being snarky. Now, the interesting thing about that is, when I texted those simple words, perhaps you missed it, but I said I didn't watch it, they read that as, so perhaps you didn't hear this, but I didn't watch it. My heart, when I wrote it, was, perhaps you missed the part, just wanted you to know, understand, I actually didn't watch it. That's how I typed it. It was read differently. We're talking about a sentence here, and people got upset by it. So now here's the interesting thing. I clicked on, I don't want to use the technical terms because I don't know them. I clicked on the people who were, they believe me, they weren't like violent, they weren't swearing, but they seemed to be upset with my post. They're fellow believers. Now here's the interesting thing. I'm not sure they were being snarky with me, but I actually read it as being snarky. And I don't know their heart. They didn't know mine. I didn't know theirs, but I received it as, oh, I think they're being kind of defensive, and they're being a little annoyed with me. But I don't know, because they were being annoyed with me, and I wasn't trying to be annoying. And I thought, is this the state of our communication? Is this why we have so much acrimony? Forget the pagans, amongst Christians. I can't help but wonder. Look, the blessings are manifold when it comes to social media and the internet. We're not suggesting you put your head in the sand and don't use technology, but I wonder if it is the best place to communicate ideas unless you can give a full-throated presentation, which is why we've got emojis, apparently. Because I guess what I should have done is, perhaps you missed the part where I said I didn't watch the Super Bowl halftime show. Smiley face, smiley face, smiley face, smiley face. Don't be mad at me. I'm just saying.
Oh, that would have been misinterpreted.
By the way, speaking of emojis, the LBGT XYZ community is very, very happy because there's going to be a new slew of emojis coming out that have got the, I've got it here somewhere, the rainbow flag.
Gay emojis?
Yeah, there's gay emojis, apparently. But there are.
Are there old short fat guys deaf in one ear emojis? Because I want those.
No, I'm sorry. Oh. And unless, of course, you have some sort of a sexual proclivity that you would call an orientation. Then we'll get you some emojis, Tony.
Like my wife a lot.
Well, that won't do because that's cis, bro. Is it possible that this little communication device that we hold in our hand is sometimes hurting more than it's helping? All that to say, might I suggest the street runs both ways. When you're typing comments, whatever, just text to your family. Read them and read. Look, how many of us have not read texts and they've gone out and the spell check has, you know, caught you? How will this be received? And when we receive information and we read short little bloops, instead of putting the negative construction on it, I think we're called to put the best construction on it. This is not a diatribe to the pagans. I don't expect that of them, but it should be true of the church. This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Pew Research Center survey that says atheists and agnostics who identify as Democrats prefer Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, while Christians and Jews who are Democrats favor Joe Biden. It's a pretty healthy lead for Sanders and or Warren when it comes to the agnostics and atheists, Biden a weak third. But when you check white evangelicals, black Protestants, Roman Catholics, and Jewish voters, Joe Biden has a pretty healthy lead over Warren and Sanders. Pew also surveyed all registered voters, Republican, Democrat, and Independent, about their preference for November. President Trump would then draw the support of 75% of white evangelicals, 54% of white Catholics. The generic Democratic candidate had the support of the black Protestants and Jewish voters, 81% of atheists. There's a joke, a line, a smug comment in there somewhere. We'll pass it by. A Republican pastor from Arkansas ignoring Democrats' growing extremism on abortion, apparently, because he's urging evangelical Christians to vote for a Democrat instead of President Trump. Rob Ryers is an evangelical pastor at Vintage Fellowship Church, Fayetteville, Arkansas, says a deal with Democrats is better than a deal with the devil. He wrote a piece for Time magazine that compared Trump to the devil and argued that pro-life Christians would better serve the common good by voting for a pro-abortion Democrat.
Nope, sorry, you leave me there. Because really, common good if we're murdering babies? Really?
I see the controversial director but noted theologian Spike Lee talking with the Reverend Al Sharpton this week said senators who voted to acquit Trump in his impeachment will burn in hell, according to FaithWire, adding, I wouldn't want to be standing next to one of those guys because they're going to be struck by lightning. What's that called? Appropriation of terms for your own use? But only the parts you like and will help your argument, kind of the way that goes. And in Alabama, an atheist organization, you can guess which one, is calling for an investigation after 26 high school football players were baptized at midfield in the team's football stadium, saying the event ostracized non-religious students and gave the appearance of school endorsement. The superintendent, though, says the school followed the law, thank you. At issue is a November 21st event. 26 students of Realton High School football team who made professions of faith were baptized in a trough at the 50-yard line on a day the team didn't play.
The players simply wanted to be baptized together on the field where they all play. Freedom From Religion Foundation says the event was improper and possibly illegal. The Tallapoosa County School Superintendent Joe Wendell, though, says he investigated the matter and found no wrongdoing. He also says he signed off on the baptisms. Players weren't required to attend, and local pastors performed the baptism. Freedom From Religion Foundation was off target, he said, in its allegations. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. The book of Judges covers Israel's history from the death of Joshua to just before the reign of King Saul. The reoccurring phrase is, "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." When Israel rebelled, God allowed their enemies to triumph. But when Israel cried out to God, He raised up a deliverer. God is faithful, even when His people are not. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the Political Super Bowl edition of Wretched Radio. It's the big story. What's the Christian to do with the news du jour? Sometimes we ignore it. In fact, a lot of times we ignore it. But if you are going to digest it, we must put it through a biblical filter. Otherwise, we're just spewing opinion. A clamorous cacophony of inconsidered opinions in the community of communication. I have no idea why I'm feeling a need for alliteration at the moment. We don't want to just be another voice. We want to sound distinctly Christian, not like the world. The world has nothing but opinion. They're the ones who have set the terms for the debate. They have kept God out of it. They keep any sort of authority outside of their own personal opinion out of it. And all you see is absolute chaos. We have an authority. We have a book. We do not spew our own opinions. We try to present God's opinion based on God's word. Otherwise, clang, 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 clang. By the way, I've got the new LGBTQI, I guess that's what it is.
XYL.
What does I stand for?
Intersex.
Okay, what does that mean?
That is the people who actually are physiologically indeterminate.
Okay.
As opposed to those who just are confused about how they feel.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with intersectionality?
There's 117 new emojis that could hit Apple's next update that are the trans flag, a trans symbol, a gender-neutral bathroom sign. You know, that seems to have kind of died down a little bit, the whole bathroom business, mercifully. A gender-neutral Santa. No, you make him whatever you want. He's all yours. World, you can have the Santa. We don't care what you do to him. It doesn't offend me. Bring in my Jesus. We got a problem. Santa, take him. You can, and Mrs. Claus, you can have the reindeer. You can have Burl Live songs. All of it is yours. Please. Take it.
Hey, and this one giving away the Burl Live song so quickly. Anyway,
have a holly jolly Christmas and
silver and gold.
An emoji of a rainbow cat pinata. I don't know. I'm just reading the story.
Nothing to that.
I'm not saying a cat pinata is a bad idea. I'm just telling you it's a rainbow cat pinata emoji for the LGBTQ community. Would like to do a salute. Somebody who watched the Super Bowl and saw the commentary that we offered here at Wretched Radio. Seriously, this is so laudable. This young man who sent in this email. I'm inclined to use his name just so that I can give him props and credit where credit is due and maybe some encouragement. I'll tell you what, I'll read the letter and you tell me if we should keep his name in or out of it. All right, here we go. Good morning, Mr. Friel. I just had to voice my opinion on a major issue I have with your segment on the Super Bowl halftime show. Normally, I love listening to Wretched Radio. Here comes the conjunction.
However or but.
But is the one. On this occasion, I have to let you know I'm upset with you. He should have used more exclamation points. I would have then understood.
Maybe anything a scowly less than emoji. 17.
Yeah. Maybe a non-rainbow cat pinata with dancing shoes or something. And I will be as loving as possible in expressing my concern. So here it is. Oh, boy. That segment really convicted me and made me feel bad. How dare you? But seriously, thank you. Never have I been so happy to be made to feel so terrible about myself. He watched the halftime Super Bowl show, and it didn't strike him to the degree that we expressed when we talked about it as being appalling, that it should cause us to be disgusted by sin. It should also cause our hearts to break. I suspect J-Lo and Shakira have heard the gospel. I suspect many people who delighted in their performance, they're aware of the gospel. It should be grievous to us. Back to the email. Never have I been so happy to be made to feel so terrible. It just goes to show how prevalent that stuff is in our society that a Christian can sit and watch it without being appalled. Can I just tell you, this fellow's willingness to admit, wow, did I blow it? Why does this strike me as so unique? It could be simply because this is probably, if you had to ask me, point out a flaw in your life that affects other people, this would be wrapped up in the big ball labeled pride. Admitting your saying I'm very, very challenging for me. That is rank pride. So when I read something like this, I just go, dude, look at God working in your life here. Does this cause you, incidentally, to hear this man say, you know what, I really blew it. And then he writes, so thank you for making me feel bad about myself and my actions. I will make it a priority to watch for that stuff from now on and eliminate it when it shows up. Does this make you respect this fellow, unnamed at the moment, more or less? Huh? More or less. Because here's what my heart tells me. I can't admit that I did something sinful. People will think less of me than I want them to think, because I want them to think as highly of me as I think of myself. That is why that is so startling to me. So it could just be me. I suspect it might be more of us who read something like that and think, wow, that is amazing. And it shouldn't be for us, should it? It should be the easiest thing in the world for a Christian to say, I blew it. I got it wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Why do we struggle when that descriptor has already been accepted by us? Isn't that what we agreed to when we were shown the gospel and that Jesus Christ died for me while I was yet sinning? And that all of my righteous deeds are like filthy rags, and I need a perfect Savior? Isn't that what I've already said by professing the name of Jesus Christ, that I'm the chief of sinners? Why then do I struggle with it so much? P-R-I-D-E. And that I'm not as conformed into the image of the Son as I should be. Dad, do you struggle with saying you're sorry to your kids? How do you feel about this fellow, having heard that? Dude, that's very manly. That's manly. What that guy wrote was manly. I blew it. I shouldn't have watched that. I'm not going to do it again. That was manly. Not going to the gym. Not shooting animals in the woods. You can call that manly to a degree. I'm telling you, it's more manly to get on your knees to your family and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You want a challenge? There's your challenge right there. In fact, I get to do a men's breakfast in Atlanta on March 7th. And that's what we're going to talk about. Manly men are willing to say, I blew it. Sorry. I was wrong. Salute, too. Should we leave the fellow's name out of it? Or do we want to give him props?
No. Nope. Yeah.
He knows who he is.
Ah, he knows who he is. And you perhaps know who this is, because remember, you're listening to the Wretched Political Super Bowl Halftime Show. talked about this just in passing the other day. Thought you might enjoy hearing this from a woman who's trying to be the president of the United States. I was thinking about John Kennedy the other day, and I thought if he saw the results of the Iowa debacle, let me get this straight. The two people who won was a man married to a man and the communist. And they're in my party? What happened? This is Elizabeth Warren.
Over and over. For my Secretary of Education, the first, it has to be someone who's taught in a public school. Hello?
Private schools, bad.
And part two, because it came from a young trans person who asked about a welcoming community, and I said it starts with a Secretary of Education who has a lot to do with where we spend our money, with what gets advanced in our public schools, with what the standards are. And I said, I'm going to have a Secretary of Education that this young trans person interviews on my behalf.
And
only if this person believes that our Secretary or Secretary of Education nominee is committed to creating a welcoming environment, a safe environment, and a full educational curriculum for everyone, will that person actually be advanced to be Secretary of Education? What?
My party. My party. What happened to my party? Culture war? I gotta tell you, it sure looks like it's something a whole lot more than that. Oh, America, America. Find yourself a pagan. Share the gospel with them. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for being here today. We do appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. Have you checked out the Wretched website as yet? It is the home of all things wretched on the interweb, wretched.org. You will find full, complete Wretched Radio and TV episodes, the Wretched Store, with over 40 amazing resources for you like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and Don't Stub Your Toe. There's the Wretched Library. That's where you'll find a whole bunch of videos on topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology, from marriage to evangelism. Wretched.org. Bookmark it, won't you? Well, by the way, while you're there, you could also become a gospel partner. The folks who make this all possible. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. Oh, and don't forget, bookmark wretched.org. You'll go there more than you think. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Obeying the Great Commission has never been easier. So far, you have given away over 800,000 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And we couldn't be more thrilled with that number. But we're far from finished, my fellow evangelist. Not to be greedy, but our goal is to give away 1 million copies of What Time is Purple? Perfect for college students struggling to figure out what the truth is. Perfect for agnostics or atheists in your life. So visit wretched.org/purple and order as many copies as you promised to give away. The booklets are free. You just pay for the shipping. And together, we can reach 1 million students with the gospel. Now, if you're a ministry or a church group and you'd like to give away a gazillion What Time is Purple, we would love to send you a gazillion copies. Just email Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, for more information. al@wretched.org, he'll get you set up. So, obey the Great Commission. Visit wretched.org/purple for your copies of What Time is Purple. Wretched, amazing grace.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Advocate. When we as God's redeemed people sin, Jesus is our advocate before the Father. It is on the basis of Christ's righteousness that we are saved, not our own works. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Self-control, Friel, self-control. This is Wretched Radio. This is driving me bonkers. I'm holding the manuscript for a brand new booklet called The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God. It actually might end up being 24. Why? Just finishing up the final edits on it, and then that little piggy goes to market. It is going to get printed, and it will be available on March 1st. I don't know why I'm talking like I'm suddenly from Boston or something. March 1st is the date that these booklets will be available, encouraging you on April the 8th, a few days before Easter, to visit a university campus, a public place, and pass out copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God. It is the perfect time for you to dip your toe in the evangelism pool. What do you say? April 8th. Go to a university campus, organize your church, bring your friends, get some copies of this booklet. It's not available yet, but it will be soon, March 1st. Go to a campus and just give it to a kid. Here, read this. Did you get this? Hey, I'd love it if you would read this and just put it into their hand. You will be evangelizing. What excuse do you have? Oh, you say, I've got to work and make a living. Ha! That's no excuse. Okay, it's an excuse. But if you can get that day off or you're not working, identify a university campus, get The Man Who Split Time, and get out there. And hopefully a lot of wretches will be doing that at the same time. That should give you a little bit of comfort knowing that people, and when I say a little bit of comfort, that was not a reference to Ray. It should give you a little bit of comfort that other people will be out doing the same thing. And I'm not going to share any of the contents with you as much as I want to. For instance, I would love to tell you that the claim, the accusation of the atheists when they say, Jesus never said, quote, I am God, end quote. They love that. Show me the Bible verse where Jesus says, I'm God. And some Christians, they get put on their heels. Well, we don't have one of those. And they're right. We don't have one of those because those are too obvious. Stating I am God, that is exactly what you would expect of a mere mortal. Have you ever struggled with that? I wish Jesus had just come out and said it. Well, he did come out and say it, but in a less obvious, more profound way. Instead of just saying, all right, everybody, gather around. I'm God. You just think he was a total nutter. And that's what people do when they claim that. It's just super, like migraine-inducing eye roll. Oh, come on, another one. Jesus didn't do that. He stated it more profoundly, more credibly. And that is why we can have confidence that Jesus Christ is indeed God, even though he didn't say, quote, I am God. He did claim deity, but just not in the obvious way that we would expect. Can't wait to share it with you. Can't wait. Phil Johnson was the inspiration and the co-author on that booklet. Can't wait to share it with you. It's called The Man Who Split Time. It'll be available in March. And I'm not going to share any of it with you. For instance, I'm not going to share with you when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He was basically quoting Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. What was he doing? using God's holy name, applying it to himself. That's more profound than, I'm God. That psalm, that's back in that book, in that religious system that has been believed because there were miracles that God performed. They knew that the Lord was their shepherd, written by a king who sat on an actual throne in a real capital, in an actual place called Jerusalem. Jesus said in that place, that's me. That the Lord is my shepherd? Me. Right in front of you. Isn't that better? Don't you love? Wouldn't you rather defend that than a guy who said, I'm God, but I'm not going to share any of the contents with you because that would be jumping the gun. And by the way, I think this is a booklet. If you can, your kids should read it. They need it. Believe me, they need to read this stuff to have a rock solid, secure belief Jesus is God. Because when they go to the campus, they are going to get shellacked. And I fear too many youth groups not preparing them, their kiddos. Speaking of youth groups, George Barna, nearly 60% of highly engaged Bible-believing Christian parents pick the church that they attend. Why? Number one, kids programs. I get it. Believe me, I'm not going to be dismissive as if somehow activities for kids are not important. They are, but that should not be what drives church attendance and membership. What should be the determining factor? What does this church teach? Not just what do they proclaim to believe, but what do they proclaim? When they say, this is what we believe, does it show up in life and teaching? That's number one. Is this a solid Bible-believing Orthodox, small o, Orthodox church? And even if it doesn't have kids programs, we're going. Because that's what makes a healthy church, not the kids programs. Now, if you can find a Bible-based church that has kids programs, praise God. Some people are confronted with, it's an either or. I can go to that little Bible-believing church. They don't have much or anything for the kids. I feel that. I truly do. I get that. Or we go to the mega whoop-de-doo center. The preaching, well, it doesn't really matter. My ears are still ringing from the rock show that just happened. But the kids, they've got the programs down the hall. Please make sure whatever kids programs your kids are participating in, that they're teaching things like Jesus is God. And it doesn't involve anything involving whipped cream or peanut butter. This suggests, writes Barna, for churches to attract and retain strong Christian households, children's programming must be a key part of a holistic family ministry. Again, I don't want to either or this. It's not that they don't have any value. It's not that they can't be a blessing, but that is not what should drive a church. Being a healthy, see, it's the wrong question. This is the problem. We're asking the wrong question. What do we need to do to be a growing church is wrong. What do we need to do to attract a lot of people? Wrong question. What do we need to do as a church to be big? Wrong question. The right question is, what do we need to do to be healthy? What do we need to do to be biblical? I keep thinking back. Vody Bachum preaching a sermon, celebrating his 30th anniversary. Do you remember this illustration? He's thinking, what do I get for my wife? This is a big deal. 30th wedding anniversary. I got one of those coming up soon. So I was paying really close attention. What do I get? Okay. I think I've got this figured out. I love watches, said Vody Bachum. Cheap, expensive. They just catch my eye. I love watches. And I love her. I'll get her a watch for our anniversary. She's bound to love it because I love it. Or I could ask her, or I could ask her friends, what does she like? What do you like, honey? And get that, whether I like it or not. And that is church. We don't do what we like. We don't do what we think is going to make us big. Jesus' desire is not an emphasis on numerical growth. It is on health. It is on being a representation, a little sparkling island that the world sees, oh, okay, I think I'm understanding a little bit more about Jesus Christ when I watch those people. Jesus wants healthy churches, and if Jesus grows it, praise God. I'm thinking of Tom Pennington right now. Good brother in Dallas. Preach, wonderful expositor of the Bible. And his church is growing. But it's healthy first, and it's growing. Why? Because God is blessing it. God is the one who has to give numeric growth of a healthy church. If we bypass the healthy to get to numerics, then we are building a house of straw. And what if a church is being Bible-based and being healthy, and it shrinks to the point of having to close the doors? You know what we can say, even with tears? Praise God. Because we did what he wanted us to do, and he determined it is time for us to board up this place and sell the building to somebody else, because he has determined that he doesn't want this one open now. We do not take those issues into our own hands, either growing or shrinking a church. What we do is ask our bridegroom, what do you want? I believe the answer is a healthy church, a Bible-based church that preaches my word so that people can become conformed to my image. And I don't think you're going to find any tag-along Bible verse that would suggest, oh, and make sure that the youth groups are really, really, really rocking. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.